HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court inadvertently leaked a draft opinion today that's poised to allow emergency abortions in Idaho. CBS's Jan Crawford.
It does appear to me that this is the decision, and I will be surprised if it's something different when they release it.
The leak was originally reported by Bloomberg. The Supreme Court also sided with the Biden administration over how far the federal government can go to combat misleading social media posts. Lawyer Daniel Schmidt of Liberty Counsel says he's disappointed.
Allowing the federal government to silence a voice you don't like is dangerous to the First Amendment, it's dangerous to the country, and it's dangerous to the values we hold dear.
A debate rematch tomorrow between President Biden and former President Trump. Political analyst Larry Sabato predicts it's going to get ugly.
Parts of it will be unpleasant and extremely negative, and they will attack each other for absolutely everything.
CNN says mics will be muted while the other speaks. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge is granting a temporary injunction that will allow people with disabilities to vote at home electronically. Dane County's Everett Mitchell says the state law banning election clerks from emailing absentee ballots to disabled voters is unenforceable. The case could go all the way to the state Supreme Court. The first presidential debate is tomorrow night. Kristen Sira is a teacher in Port Washington with an autoimmune disorder, but she's listening to hear what the candidates have to say about helping young people.
What are we going to do about this whole generation of people who do not have health care as part of their employment package? How are they going to access health care so they can stay healthy?
Civic Media's debate coverage is on many of these stations tomorrow night at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Two Western Wisconsin United Way organizations announced the completion of a merger creating United Way, St. Croix, and Red Cedar Valleys. According to a press release, the United Way of St. Croix Valley and Dunn County United Way will officially begin operations as a combined organization on July 1st, serving communities in Burnett, Dunn, Pierce, Polk, and St. Croix counties. The merger will allow the organizations to better allocate their resources and maximize the impact of the donations they receive. United States Senator Elizabeth Warren, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, and State Representative Jody Emerson hosted a reproductive rights panel at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire on Tuesday. The three discussed some of the issues that have affected both Wisconsin and the rest of the country in the 2 years since the United States Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, which effectively overturned Roe v. Wade. Senator Warren further criticized Republican efforts to curb access to IVF as well as Project 2025. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers get the win in extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-5 win over the Rangers. Milwaukee's now won 4 in a row. Bottom of the 10th. Willie Adames on third thanks to a wild pitch. Andrew Monasterio at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The sixth inning and Monasterio with two gone comes up with the knock.
Joey Ortiz shaken after running into the tarp for a pop fly. The Brewers have tomorrow off, then host the Cubs Friday night. NBA draft underway tonight. The Bucks with a 23rd pick. GM John Horst trying to make a good Bucks team better.
Just being laser focused on that, drilling down in and figuring out what are the specific skill sets that will give us the returns we need in a tough playoff series. The league keeps getting better. They're going to be better again next year. Boston's going to come back on fire, and they're going to be great.
That's the Bucks GM John Horst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Showers and storms Thursday night and Friday, highs again mid-70s. Nice weekend ahead with sunshine returning, little breezy Saturday, highs both days low 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
It is Wisconsin. We need to have some kind of presidential debate drinking game. What is the cue?
Is it rigged? Is it?
Come on, man. Malarkey, though.
I think
malarkey is like a 5-point word.
Yeah, that's the one ring to rule them all. That is the one you want to get. I feel like he will switch some voters if he does malarkey because it's just so darn charming.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan and a little weather update. It's Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, of course it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Put that out there right away, Johnny Lupinacci, so people can get it in there, get that speed dial going. Johnny, you know, the other thing too is to remind people, hey, have you downloaded the Civic Media app, Johnny? You know, I know you and I have, but you know, how many people out there, you're sitting there going, man, what do I do when I can't get Busted Pencils on the radio? Huh, not a problem. Download the app.
Yeah, or just talk to your smart speaker or whatever that little box is that I say your name and then she starts playing all kinds of stuff or telling me the weather. You can also ask that smart speaker, right, to get to the Civic Media stuff and connect you with great programming all day long. But Tim, you know, I'm biased.
Tune
in for Busted Pencils every weekday, same time, same place.
Same place.
My guy, always here with me. Love it. You know where else we could always be, too? If we are in Madison, we could be at the Monopoly Brewing Company.
Absolutely.
Those guys are big-time advocates for public education, and they're up in Minocqua, too. So whether you're in Madison or Minocqua, stop by. Always hard working to build community and make great beer. They tell me, and I'm telling you because Kirk has told me this, and I see it on the social media, they're the most sued brewery in America. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I could use a beer today, Tim. It's hot. It's summer. It's Wednesday.
Really?
And the news broke.
Oh, yeah.
And the news broke. And I mean, I think this news is too near and dear to us, Tim. You and I both talk all the time about you know, our struggles as educators, as educated educators. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talk a lot on the show. We talk a lot about politics, a lot about K-12 schools, a lot about this last show last night about higher education. That's college teachers, professors in college, how they continue to work to improve their teaching on top of being experts in their field. It was a great show last night. Tim, then the news broke. And we were lucky because we got a guy who can help us understand this news because, man, I was like, it's beautiful out. The sun is up. We had a great conversation with our guy, Jonathan Garrico, last night from the ACUE, man. And then, boom.
Womp, womp, womp.
Got the news headline. So without me teasing it anymore, Tim, let's let our listeners know what's going on.
Yeah, we have our special guest. He's been with us multiple times. Hey, just in case, too, he's also running for president of the United States. We want to put that out there. Alan Collins, founder and head of studentloanjustice.org. His organization has been leading the leading force advocating for the cancellation of all federally owned student loans and a return of bankruptcy protections to all student loans. Today, though, we're going to dive deep, Alan. The SAVE program, SAVE, which was helping people out.
Yeah, it was.
Part of it now, Johnny says, the news is breaking. Republican-led states that challenged the SAVE program got some, they got some good news because some forgiveness now is off the table. Some repayment relief is off the table. Alan Collins, welcome back to Busted Pencils. Help us make sense of this.
Well, it's great to be with you all under these unfortunate circumstances. So the SAVE plan was a revision of a revised income-driven repayment plan. This is a decades-long soap opera, but so Joe Biden introduced this SAVE plan pretty recently as a result of all the public outcry that's been happening around student loans lately. The lending system is, by all rational metrics, pretty much failed at this point. Very few people are paying. It's just a disaster. So Biden introduced the SAVE plan, which cut some of the interest that accrues on the other income-driven repayment plans so that people's loan balances as they go through the program don't balloon and explode. It's pretty, you know, on balance, it was a pretty good thing in the universe of income-driven repayment plans. But harks in the shadow of the Supreme Court case that we saw pretty recently about student loan cancellation, which Biden also tried to do. The Republicans have turned the student loan issue into a political football. And so they were successful in defeating the really pretty lame cancellation plan that Biden had rolled out. And the Republicans were apparently encouraged by this. And so now they are suing Biden on this new flavor of income-driven repayment plan. And so far, they're successful. The plan where the interest would stop accruing, that was supposed to start happening July 1st. But here we are now, as of this week, that's all on hold. The two federal judges, Kansas and Missouri, have issued injunctions on the SAVE plan. So it's really the Wild West out there, guys. I wish I could tell you what the future holds if you happen to be enrolled in one of these programs. But
let me ask this question, Alan, though, too, and I'm just gonna put it out there straight. I mean, really, this feels absolutely mean, like absolutely mean and hurtful and harmful, intentionally out there. As you're just saying, you know what? Stopping the interest from accruing. It wasn't allowing, people are still paying, right? It was giving some real potential relief in some of the things that you've pointed out in the show many times of how people take out $12,000 in loans, pay back $20,000 in loans, and still owe another $30,000. How that reality can happen is because of what you just said. This, the way interest accrues on student loans, this was a tiny, tiny attempt to give it some justice, some student loan justice. And yet, really, these Republican attorney generals filed this lawsuit to stop, or to, let's not say to stop, to continue to perpetuate suffering.
That's exactly right. You know, and I'm a nonpartisan guy. I quite frankly am kind of done with both parties. The whole thing has just become one bunch of nonsense that guarantees the perpetuation of this predatory lending program. But the viciousness of the Republicans as this issue has become a political football is on full display for everyone to see. You know, and it's not just the current lawsuits. They've also introduced legislation to kill the SAVE plan legislatively. And it's pretty clear that the Republicans are fighting tooth and nail for this lending program. And as you point out, Tim, you know, even the relatively modest cancellations that we've seen over Biden's first 3.5 years, we've polled our members. We have millions of members. We polled many of them. So hopefully this is statistically relevant, but what we're finding is that even of the few people who are getting loan cancellation, the vast majority of them, 70%, already repaid amount that they borrowed. Many repaid far, far, far more than the amount they borrowed. So there's one example I could give. Vanjie in California, she borrowed $26,000. She repaid $92,000 on a $26,000 loan. Her loans were finally forgiven, but her balance at the end of it was still 132,000 $26,000
from an original $26,000.
An original $26,000 loan. So when we're talking about canceling student loan debt, guys, we're not talking about the taxpayers shoveling money from the treasury to the student loan borrowers. We're talking about canceling interest and profit. You know, the government was never supposed to make a profit on these loans. When the program was created in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson said that the loans would be free of interest.
Right.
And today, I just did the calculation. Today, $174 million in interest is created out of thin air every single day.
Daily.
Every day, $174 million.
Johnny Lupinacci, hold that, man, right? Think a day, yes. And yet we hear this, Johnny, like, jump in here. We hear how much pain those people who didn't go to college will have to suffer if student loans are forgiven. Johnny Lupinacci, what say you?
Well, I mean, Tim, I think that's always the myth that's out there, right? And I love that you brought it up, because I think for a listener, it's really important to dispel that myth. You know, like, if we were to solve this problem promptly, swiftly, let's say we were to really take a close look, and as I thought we were kind of, I'm always hopeful. I think we're headed there all the time. I'm like, okay, it's looking good. It's looking like we can just solve this, you know, this massive debt that so many people are in, right? And get things fixed, get it right, so we don't just recreate it, right? We know we can do better. We know we can do it. But I often hear, well, that's not fair, because, I'm working in some other industry, or I had my college paid for me, or I didn't have to take out, you know, federal loans. And then I say, okay, well, it's not fair, because now I'm paying for somebody else who took that loan out, who hasn't paid back their education. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the thing I get into. So, Alan, for our listener, can you help? Because Tim and I could say, well, that's just a myth. That's not true. But I think you got the language around really helping us communicate that to our listener out there, who's like, one, man, the Republicans are trying to stick it to you. Many of you are Republicans straddled with this debt, right? And or you might identify like Alan and I, like, hey, neither the Democrats or the Republicans seem to be like really in favor of these things that we call democracy. But in general, one, like, help us dispel this myth that it's like going to cost the hardworking people, you know, their.
I'm so glad you asked. It's the number one myth out there. Everywhere, every day, I get hit by these really Muppets who've been programmed by the propaganda that proponents of this lending system have been just overwhelming the media, the zeitgeist with. Student loan cancellation is canceling interest. It's not an actual cost to the taxpayer. Unlike PPP loans, for example, not one dime has to be taken from the treasury. Not one penny is added to the national debt. And on balance, the taxpayers are breaking about even. So you can't say that about any other lending program. Every nickel of federally owned student loan debts, 90% of all loans, could be canceled tomorrow. And as I said, the federal government would have made essentially all of its money back.
I think that's the point, too, is to point that out for somebody just going. It's like, so the amount of money that has been loaned out, actually, the amount of interest that has generated, there has been more money actually made over the time than, Alan, is what you're saying, than the actual loan that was given out. So there isn't anything to repay, because it's been repaid over and over and over again by the interest generations. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org, the number. Give us a call when you're ready for that. You know, if you're struggling with the SAVE plan, 855-752-4842. Get more back here with Alan, and let's bust this myth. More when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Bunny Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's endless. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Sherry from Horicon. Hey, guys. Hey, Sherry, what's happening? Appreciate that. You too can text in if you're on the Twitter, if you're on the Facebook or the X, if that's what you have to call it nowadays. You know, give us a note or give us a call, 855-752-4842. Our guest, Alan Collins. Yeah, and Alan, he's running for president, too, of the United States. Just, you know, something minor. Head of studentloanjustice.org. Yesterday, Johnny's day was upset because a couple attorneys general who took some modest relief to the saving loan or the student loan disaster. Just a little bit of relief that was allocated and some that was about to start here July 1st. No. Meanness, anger, hurt, truly trying to harm people. Well, they were successful. Alan, we've been talking about this, and before the break, we were trying to say, help bust the myth of my neighbor who is absolutely convinced that if my son's student loans happen to be forgiven or canceled, that he's going to be stuck with the bill to pay off my son's student loan. Because, and let's make this for the, you know, truly compassion and understand, because that's what he's being told. And he really believes that. And can you blame somebody who's saying, wait a minute, slicker, I'm not on the hook for paying off your son's student loan. That's just not fair. When they say that, they're not wrong to say that's not fair. But we come back and go, but that's not what's happening. You won't pay a dime. How do we get that through to people that my neighbor who truly is just saying he doesn't want to be mean. He just doesn't want to be stuck with paying off student loans that he didn't take out.
Yeah, it's just a pervasive lie. It plays very well with an uneducated audience. It sounds good. It's politically, the Republicans just, it's red meat to them, apparently. But the fact of the matter is the people have paid. The government was never supposed to make a profit on student loans. Today, it makes $100 billion a year in profit. And so when loans are canceled, no money is drawn from the treasury. The taxpayers don't have to come up with new money from the people to pay for that. It's essentially monopoly money. It's writing off interest. You know, I like to use the analogy of if you buy a $1 lottery ticket, right? You scratch it off. It didn't win the $1 million, but you won a buck back. You won a dollar. So, okay, you broke even. Can you now go when you file your taxes and write that lottery ticket off as a $1 million loss because you didn't win the million? No, you would go to prison for accounting fraud. That is exactly the propaganda that the people making money off of this loan scam are pushing into the zeitgeist. It's a bald-faced lie, easily disproven. But, you know, as I think Mark Twain said, the truth, it can't even get its pants on in the morning before a lie can make it halfway around the world. And that's exactly what's going on here, guys. It's propaganda. And people out there need to realize that by wagging their finger at student loan borrowers, what they're actually doing is fighting for the Department of Education, the colleges, which most conservatives don't like either of those two entities, And the most unconstitutional loan scam in U.S. history.
Well, and I think about it too, Alan. I love the way you put it, because for our listener out there thinking about this, and you know, if this is the first time you've heard this perspective where you're like, this is a bold-faced lie, you know, this isn't, it isn't taking money out of your pocket. I'll even put out there, you know, I've been in conversations with people that aha moment actually means, and the numbers are large, and we're talking about a lot of people who are straddled with student loan debt. And it's not like they're trying to get out of paying back, but like Alan, you pointed out, it's excess accrued interest. It's many times four or five times over the amount borrowed, you know, and imagine, say you have a $900 a month student loan payment. Imagine now, where's that? Like, if we got rid of like the student loan debt, if we just said, you know what, we're going to really rein this in, even cut that in half for people or eliminate it completely. Imagine where that money goes. It could go right into our local economies. And so if you, like, say you own a dealership, or you are, you know, restaurant owner, or you are the manager at the movie theater, you all of a sudden know that locally there is a surplus of money that is now available for, you know, exchange in the local market. And so it is actually not taking money out of your pocket, but potentially putting it into your pockets, because what you have is you have everybody who's straddled with this debt spread so thin that they're not, say, spending on extras, right? So they're not, so those entertainment industries and those different things aren't seeing the sustainability economically that we might like, say, in small business or in those kinds of ways. So to me, it's always like a logic thing too. It's like, hey, there are a number of ways to understand this. And I like Tim's too, where say like, hey, man, it's just thinking about whether it's fair or not. Okay, that's an argument. Like, I love morals and ethics, and I like thinking that people, you know, want everyone to suffer less. But sometimes I give up on that. So I'm in the logics of an instrumental argument. You want your money. Here's where your money is tied up right now. You want that money freed up and flowing? Help us free it up. Because if that debt goes away, I know with certainty that the people who are straddled in that debt will be spending. There's an erasure of the middle class in this sense.
Yes. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. I will only give you one or two examples. Let's look at the state of Missouri, shall we?
Mohila,
Andrew Bailey, Attorney General. He successfully stopped cancellation. State of Missouri. The people, first of all, the entire state budget of Missouri, that's a big number, is $25 billion. Mm-hmm. The people of Missouri owe the Department of Education $31 billion. This is interest alone. This is $2 billion in interest being created out of thin air by the Department of Education every year and put on the backs of Missouri student loan borrowers. And essentially being sucked out of the state. I mean, think about that. And, you know, we could talk about Texas, $120 billion. That's $8 billion being sucked out of state and sent to the Department of Education every year. Now, most conservatives that I know, they're not big fans of the Department of Education. They want to close it down. They're not big fans of the college. But here we have this just asinine situation, just ridiculous situation, where Joe Plumber and Joe the janitor, they're all up in arms and wagging their finger at the borrower saying, you need to pay your loans. It's not the taxpayer. It's just, you know, I don't want to call people feeble-minded.
Then don't.
People, no, I shouldn't. And I won't. But people get sucked in by these very easy to digest messages.
It's a passionate issue. And as I said, people get a sense of fairness. And if that bone is tickled that they're being cheated, they're going to rebel. And that's what they hear. Alan Collins, our guest, studentloanjustice.org. Man, Mohila, student loan forgiveness, save program. Whole bunches of stuff going on. Busted pencils. Give us a call when we get back, though. Ask your questions more. 855-752-4842. See you in a minute.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A youth counselor at the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in northern Wisconsin is dead. Corey Prue was one of two employees allegedly attacked by a 16-year-old inmate Monday night. Problems at Lincoln Hills go back several years. A new youth prison in Milwaukee is expected to be ready by the end of next year or early 2026. Weather emergencies like floods bring out the scam artists. Bao Vang of the Better Business Bureau says to be wary of contractors you don't know offering to fix your flood damage.
They're offering quick fixes or big promises that they do not intend to keep.
Vang recommends making sure you know what your insurance covers first. She says you're best off hiring local accredited contractors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire man who is currently in jail facing drug charges is now facing additional accusations that he stole over $100,000 from his 92-year-old grandmother. According to a WQOW report, Evan Daniels was living with his grandmother and was supposed to be taking care of her, but the family told law enforcement that the $300,000 she had in her bank account 6 months ago is now down to only about $75,000. Daniels is due to appear in court on Friday. Tenants in a Chippewa Falls apartment building were evacuated this week as their building sinks into the ground. According to a WEAU report, 30 units in the Romise Millstream apartment building were evacuated because one corner of the building is settling into the ground near Duncan Creek. Engineer crews are evaluating the building, and the owners do not yet know when tenants will be allowed back in. HUD is assisting in rehousing people in the interim while crews investigate the extent of the problem. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Inside Out 2 has made $724 million worldwide in just 11 days. The Disney Pixar film just passed Dune 2 as the highest grossing film of the year so far and has given the summer box office major momentum as theaters prepare for other hopeful blockbusters like A Quiet Place Day 1, Deadpool and Wolverine, and Despicable Me 4. We'll see if the momentum keeps rolling. Scarlett Johansson would have been happy to have been eaten by a fake dinosaur, that is. The 39-year-old Oscar-nominated actress told ComicBook.com that she has wanted to be part of the Jurassic franchise forever and has now finally landed a starring role in Jurassic World. Johansson says the first Jurassic Park was one of the first films she ever saw in theaters and it changed her life. Johansson says she'd be willing to die in the first 5 minutes, get eaten by whatever, do craft services, and says she'll do anything for it. That's called not exactly giving your agent firepower at the negotiating table. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Showers and storms Thursday night and Friday, highs again mid-70s. Nice weekend ahead with sunshine returning, little breezy Saturday, highs both days, low 70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap the consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate. Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Hmm.
There it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on X and Twitter. Check us out. Hey, even people who are watching YouTube, you know, there it is. Our guest, Alan Collins, collinsforpresident.com. If you are watching, you can see, yes, he is running for president. And we will talk about that a little bit before we let Alan go. We are talking, though, just happened. Missouri AG, you know, and we were talking about this. Two attorneys generals, Republicans, took some relief. Literally sued to stop people from getting relief from the burden of debt, and they were successful. The SAVE program, which, as Alan was pointing out, helped some people by reducing some of the interest they were going to pay, cutting in half, potentially some people in half, how much they were going to have to pay a month. Johnny Lupinacci chimes in and going, well, geez, just think of that. If I had to pay half of what I was paying, that would mean the other half I'm going to put into my local economy, because that's what hardworking people do.
Or anywhere, if we even talk about it in terms of, like, if we want to talk about, you know, stereotypically where the conservative party talks about, you know, sensible spending and fiscally conservative, you know, folks out there, you're not represented well by the Republican Party. But let's just talk about that in a sense. Or money I could invest into the market, or money that, like, not just me, but people who are straddled with that they can put into, you know, savings in different ways that are part of that economy. I mean, it's a money economy. It's immediately money that goes into that market that builds the strength of everyday people. So it's also, at this point too, I'm also like, man, this is really low hanging fruit for either party to get on board with and connect with a massive amount of voters. Cause we're not talking about, you know, that 10% out there who have student loan debt.
Alan.
Yeah. You know, 20% of all adults, over 50 million people either have student loans or signed on them. And 85%, this is a huge statistic you'll never hear anywhere else, at least not yet. 85% of all federal student loan borrowers were underwater on their loans before the pandemic. Today, 80% of all federal student loan borrowers are unable. They are not able to make payments on their student loans. And these people are not all Democrats. In fact, a majority of those 40 million distressed borrowers are either Republican or independent. That's true. People don't realize these are not blue-haired snowflakes we're talking about. This is an accurate cross-section of the voting base in this country. This is 20% of the Republican base. So while I'm not a partisan guy at all, I don't like either party. I am politically aware, and I can tell you that the Democrats are playing the Republicans like a fiddle on this issue. Frankly, I don't see how Donald Trump can win in 2024 with the student loan baggage that he's carrying for his rich buddies who are exploiting the system.
Alan, because to me, what comes across on this one, as I said, as I started out the show, is that this just feels mean, ugly, nasty. I'm going to get you, darn it. And you are, you know, nothing about this feels justice driven. Like, no justice was gained yesterday by the court kind of taking away some of the SAVE program. People aren't now, you know, it literally was from the standpoint of going, you out there, you were about to get a little bit of relief. Sorry, we don't want you to have any relief. Sorry, too bad. And I'm sitting there going, it's just like, at what point does somebody go, you know, I mean, I like people to pay back their debts, but I hope the majority of people don't want to hurt other people and see other people in pain. At what point are we going to say, you know what, a little compassion, a little bit of, you know, understanding. And then the reality of this too, it won't cost you a dime, taxpayer. Sorry, it won't. So on top of that, you don't have to worry about you writing extra checks for monthly payments because your neighbor isn't paying their student loans. That won't happen. you get to maybe potentially enjoy the benefits of your neighbor having more money to put back into the economy. This is actually an issue that we could get together on, is the way I'm starting to imagine it, Alan.
You're exactly right. There's no good reason that Republicans and Democrats, liberals, conservatives can't look at this thing together and see what I see, which is the fact that the federal government has made so much money on this thing. No conservative should be for the Department of Education profiting $100 billion a year. Everybody should be able to see just the interest alone that the Department of Education is sucking out of states like Texas, Florida, Missouri. The entire South is hurt the worst of all states. You know, it's not Massachusetts or Washington or California. No. The worst hurt states by student loan debt is the entire South, from Virginia to Florida, from Missouri down to Texas, and everything in between. The Republicans have chosen poorly to champion this issue. In 2015, Donald Trump, he's wise to this thing. Donald Trump said, why is the government making money on student loans? Why should student loans be a revenue source for the federal government? Donald Trump said that, and he did not wag his finger at the borrowers in the 2015-16 campaign. If he thinks he can now begin to join the Republicans, browbeat his own base included, and pull out states like Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, these are all states that are just absolutely overwhelmed in student loan debt. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, I think Trump's going to have a very hard time with. I think Trump needs to go with his gut. I don't know that he will, but Donald Trump's no dummy. He knows the truth. It's just all the people around him who are making money from the scam seem to have completely co-opted him. So we'll see. Busted Hopefully pencils. My campaign.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, we're going to get that. It's Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Check them out. Give us a call, though, 855-752-4842. Because, yeah, if you're looking at this and you're going, the save plan, I just thought about the save. Saving on a valuable education, that's the acronym. That was what was, you know, partially halted and put on pause. And more, you know, so we were talking about the people who were about to see their payments kind of cut in half. But the other part of this ruling, Alan, too, is that some of the people who were going to be eligible for forgiveness after paying, they're now, that part is going, no, that's officially kicked out. That's gone. No forgiveness. No soup for you.
You know, and it's the same thing that happened the last time. You know, people got letters saying, hey, you're going to get $10,000 or even $20,000 of your loans canceled through the Biden cancellation. And the Republicans step in. There could be no more visible example of the viciousness of these Republicans in the minds of these 40 million distressed, 55 million general student loan borrowers in the country. This is it's political malpractice, quite frankly. And I don't claim to understand it. No conservative that I know can give me a rational explanation for it. But there it is. It's political silly season here. Apparently, they think their base, which is never going to vote for a Democrat or RFK, they just love to feed them red meat. But I'm telling you, they are going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory on this issue. I mean, truly, these are enough voters to swing even a semi-close election, 40 million voters.
Yeah, I think that's also helpful, Alan, to dispel a little bit. And you're close to this, the statistics and this angle. So say I'm, you know, someone like me, I'm traditionally Democrat, not really happy with the party. But, you know, like, I'm like, come on, like, here we are mostly aligned with like my politics and my beliefs, not as far as I would like it, not as, you know, great in the human rights category, not as great in the education category, but certainly better represented in my political views than traditionally the Republican Party. I'm with you. Neither one seem to check any boxes for me right now. But, you know, I'm thinking, I get those. I did. I was in the loan reconsolidation. I fall into that, you know, been paying since I had them. You know, they were undergraduate loans from like the late 90s. Yep. That, you know, it was like, okay, this should be no problem to pay back, but they have always been high interest rate. They've bounced around different places. I can't even begin to name the different lenders that they've had, you know, and there was a movement under this current administration. There was a movement to consolidate them to Mohila, to kind of get them into one place. There were lots of optimistic letters that I'd open in the mail that would say, you've been doing great. You're eligible, you know, for, like you said, 10,000 reduction. You're going to be eligible for these reductions. And then bump, 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 you're not. And so in part, if I'm one of those people out there, and I know there's more than myself, if I'm one of those people, I'm kind of pissed at the Democrats, because and it's not going to swing me to Republican. But I'm further. So where is that coming from? And I know you mentioned it. You said, like, because of the Republicans, the Demo, like that stuff has happened. Maybe just dispel that, like shine some light on that experience that so many of us are having, where one minute we're like, this is optimistic. This seems like it's headed in the right direction. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, guess what? No.
Yeah. You know, and I hate to bash the Democrats. What you say is, I mean, the rhetoric, obviously, any student loan borrower who decides to vote for either of the two parties really should vote Democratic. But the fact of the matter is, both parties are complicit in this. You know, the Democrats had been promising since 2005, for example, to return bankruptcy protections to student loans. This is really the core of the entire student loan problem. Got to return bankruptcy protections. Most other things will sort themselves out when we get the leverage of bankruptcy return. So 2020, Biden gets elected and makes all these campaign promises about cancellation. The Democrats had a great bipartisan bankruptcy bill that they could have easily passed. And at the 11th hour, they chose not to. And then lo and behold, the Supreme Court rules against Biden. And, you know, if you read between the lines and you see people like Nancy Pelosi and Susan Rice, they never wanted that cancellation effort of Biden to win. They wanted it to fail. The Department of Education, they have no desire or intentions of canceling any student loans if they don't have to. You know, they run their loan program to make money. That's what they do. It's like a business. Mm. And so you're not wrong, Johnny. In fact, the duplicity or the insincerity of the Democrats is precisely why I decided to run for president.
Hey,
I think, man, a lot of people out there, particularly conservatives, but also some Democrats, they see the writing on the wall. They see this is kind of a uniparty thing. This is a good cop, bad cop routine. You know, Biden is kind of faking it. The Republicans are just evil. So I put myself out there because, honestly, I couldn't see any other good way to compel one or both parties to actually get off their ass, acknowledge this lending scam for what it is, and make some real changes, and hopefully before the election.
Awesome. Well, Alan, that's great. Can you, for our listener, so you get this, we got Alan here. He's stepped up. He's just taking his, you know, civic duty to the next level. But Alan, talk to us a little bit. Tell our listener where they can find more about student loan forgiveness, but also about, you know, you stepping in and saying, by golly, let's go. I'm running for president.
Yeah. The first thing I would say is to everybody, go to change.org/cancel student loans. This is the petition that ignited the entire student loan cancellation debate in 2020. We've got 1.2 or 3 million signatures now, maybe 1.4. I would love to get that sucker up to 15, 20 million signatures. There's no reason that we can't. But check out my campaign, collingeforpresident.com, C-O-L-L-I-N-G-E for president.com. I think there's stuff in my platform beyond student loans that both conservatives and liberals will appreciate. I think everybody with student loans will at least be able to live with it. And, you know, let's put some pressure on both parties, because somebody has got to shake things up. And this is what my campaign is.
That's what we do every night on Busted Pencil, shaking it up. Alan,
break some
Collins.
Pencils.
Thank you so much. Bust some pencils, Alan. Not break them, bust them.
I love it.
Let's bust some student loans. Alan Collins, thank you so much for your time tonight. When we get back, Johnny and Tim, breaking it down. I don't know.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
We're back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Great guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Yeah, the SAVE program took a hit this week, just yesterday. Some people, yeah, relief, Johnny. I mean, that is what we literally, we did away with some people having some relief, having the ability to breathe, having the ability to dream about a future where, wow, I might be out of this debt. I might have some of this done. No. We're just not doing that. And got to appreciate Alan coming on to help us understand all of this. But Johnny, the way you talked about too, you gave your own personal example there. That I think is a way for people to understand what's happening here.
Well, I mean, it's pain in the neck, and like Alan said, it's constant communication of distrust, right? That like, hey, you can't financially plan. Where 1 minute you are paying this monthly, the next minute there's talk of, hey, it's being reduced. Hey, it's being adjusted. Hey, it's eligible for cancellation. You start thinking, okay, well, wow, what could I do with that? But where could I put that money in other ways? Where can I invest in my local economy? Where can I, exercise my civic duty and right to the market, right? And so I'm like, okay, cool. It's constantly been like a bait and switch. And like Alan said, since like 2005, lots of great things to keep talking about with this, because it's not going away. And something's got to change to dispel the myths, because wherever you fall on this issue, like, we want to have that conversation, because it's just not as simple as, well, you took out those loans, you owe that money. Obviously.
I mean,
no one's asking for like, hey, where's my free stuff? Right. But at the end of the day, it's something that's grown to the scale of being destructive to our economy. It's grown to the scale where it's continuing to line the pockets of not those people in our community, but the people who are making decisions for us in our community, right? It's about large bank corporations. And if anyone should understand bailouts, it's yeah, those, right. It's those companies. I mean, so it's like, come on, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So we've done this for the goose. Why aren't we doing it for the gander? Speaking of what's good for the goose and what's good for is also good for the gander. Boy, man, tomorrow night's going to be interesting. I mean, I feel like I have pay-per-view tickets to a UFC fight. I haven't been this excited for a presidential debate in a long time. I need to hear these guys. I mean, I'm sure listener out there, you're thinking the same thing. Tomorrow after Busted Pencils, stay tuned to your local civic station after Busted Pencils, because there'll be coverage from Civic Media News director Terry Bell and amazing host Todd Alba. Love that guy. So stay tuned tomorrow after the show. I mean, stay tuned tonight too to get used to more civic media, but especially tomorrow, because there'll be live coverage of that debate. And I'm sure listeners out there, there's going to be lots to talk about, lots to break down, and civic media's got you on that. So stay tuned this week, especially after Busted Pencils tomorrow.
What do you think the chances are that the student loan issue comes up in the debate, considering the ruling just happened yesterday?
You want to go the over under on it, Tim? Call a scholar here, man. I was like, here's an opportunity. What's the over under on? You know, I don't think it's going to come up at all because I don't think either of them want to touch it. However, though, it's low hanging fruit. Anybody grabs at it, like Alan just gave you the numbers.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna fix a student loan debt problem, throw it in there because you win. You're gonna. That's a heavy blow. You're gonna take some points away at the end of the day.
So, okay, I'm gonna put up the balance of my student loan.
Tim.
No. But you know what? If it comes up though, this is what I think, Alan. I believe that even though Donald Trump in 2015 made a comment about being in a potential understanding of why it could be canceled and recognizing this, that tomorrow night, if it comes up, my guarantee is that Donald Trump will put that out there as in taking and going, we're not paying off student loans on the backs of people who didn't take out student loans. That myth will be put forward. It will be put forward hard, and Trump will own it, live it, and he will emphasize it. And here's the other thing I guarantee what will happen. Biden will not talk like Johnny and Tim and Alan did today and dispel the myth. Biden, if you get this and if you're listening, well, we know you're listening. If Trump serves that up to you tomorrow and you don't bust that myth, man, we know some people who are going to come looking for you. Anya's even got a smile on her face on that one.
Or just roll it into your campaign. Just say, like, hey, you know, so we'll get into it. I wish there were more than just those two going head to head. I mean, we really need more than just this two-party, you know, charade. Right. We really do. But let's get to that in future shows. And Tim, it's always great to bust pencils with you. We got great stuff coming up this week. You know where you can go.
You can go to Monocle. Absolutely. Our favorite place to go if we're in Madison. And if we're up in the North Woods in Monocle, we can stop by Monocle Brewing Company. Hey, you know what? NBC. They are a proud public school supporter out there. They're making beer great again, making America great again. You know, or maybe one beer at a time, Wisconsin. Check out MinocqueBrewingCompany.com. You can check out, buy some of their merchandise, buy some woke coffee, buy some choice wine, get your beer out there. But, proudly support one of the sponsors of Busted Pencils. Johnny, yeah, tomorrow night, though, too, little teaser, Grow Your Own, another student, Grow Your Own, a bus driver who took up the call. They are becoming a teacher. We are going to tell that story tomorrow of a bus driver going full time now using a Grow Your Own program to become a teacher. Yeah, stay tuned or stay ready for tomorrow. 855-752-4842.
Stay ready, write that. Stay steady.
Stay steady. And Johnny, man, love busting pencils with you tonight. Love busting pencils with Anya tonight. Love busting pencils with Alan tonight. Hey, just love busting pencils all around, man. You know?
That's right.
All right. Check it out, though. Tomorrow night, yeah, join us. Sam, Grow Your Own student bus driver to teacher. Tomorrow night on Busted Pencils.
The Tap. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the debate day edition of the Devil's Advocates. We'll have Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler and party at the Barrymore Theater. See you there.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.